You and the plant. I have one plant in my kitchen. We're restoring vitality to it. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and along for the ride is, as usual, is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
I'm just loving it. Thank you for asking.
You know, Martin, last time we talked about one of the people that you'd had a bit of an email correspondence with and then spoke with, and he had looked like Candida and different things that he could do, and we got into kind of Toyota and causes and root causes and all those good things. And I was thinking after we went off the air that last week that what are other things that we can do, because we're still in our How to Get Sick series here. What are some of the other things that we could do that would, you know, help us along when it came, you know, getting really sick in a way that, you know, might be somewhat unique?
Perfect question. Well, I guess living in a toxic home or toxic office or a toxic workplace would be good.
How would you even know that?
Well, you know, when you enter a new home and it's been painted with toxic paints, you might experience something like headache, or you might even smell it, and I don't know. Have you ever sat down in a brand new car?
Yes, I have. The smell of a new car.
Right. Now, sometimes it's pretty good, especially the new car smell when it used to be made with wood, leather.
Yeah.
But that's not the case now. You know, now they're vinyl.
And they do something to give you that good new car scent.
Well, I mean, there's a requirement to making cars smell good, but what I'm talking about is like when you first get into a, you know, vehicle that sits in the sun that's got this vinyl stuff in it, it's going to gas off all kinds of chemicals. Hmm. I mean, there are people who are so sensitive they can't buy a new car. They have to buy a two-year-old car that was owned by a non-smoker.
Interesting.
Who didn't wear perfume.
Huh.
Yeah. You know,
one way you can tell is just how you feel about something, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, one of the signs of your liver not working so well is that you're sensitive to perfumes, right?
Oh, that, I didn't know that was a sign that your liver wasn't working that well.
Well, you know, this—it's an assault, right? It's an assault from outside. These are some kind of organic toxins coming in.
Right, right.
The other day, I was asked to explain it to somebody. I said, "Well, if you think of your capacity to deal with toxins as a lake with a dam, visualize that you have maybe a lake that's almost full, right? Like it's nearly overflowing." The moment it rains hard, the water is spilling over the dam, or, you know, like you have no capacity left to protect the valley down below from the downpour. It just spills.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have the lake only half full, there's, you know, 20 feet of water to rise still, even a massive tropical storm won't fill it.
Hmm. That's a good analogy. I like that.
So in the same way, if your liver is working at capacity or near capacity to just keep you functioning, the moment you hit yourself with some toxins, you go straight into a headache or a migraine or something of that sort.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, so we were talking about
our home, right? Because when it comes to health, that's not something that people talk about a lot. It's like, okay, what sort of paint did you use, or... you know, what's the type of carpet, or do you have mold?
Yeah, and there are people with allergies who are having to install wood floors or something like that, you know, like definitely no carpets because they might be, allergic to dust, dander, and whatever, right? So you need to keep the floors completely bare so you can vacuum it every day. You know, one of the real bad culprits are... candles. It's just bizarre, but candles made with paraffin.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the scented candles, you know, scented with some artificial flavor. But especially if they're, you know, like beeswax candles do not have this effect. The natural beeswax candle burns and is non-toxic to normal people. But the paraffin candles are.
Huh.
So if you have a smell-sensitive person, do not treat them to an aromatherapy candle made with paraffin.
Right. Huh. That's, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, it's not common thinking. You know, like if you don't have this problem, you don't even think of it. And yet,
no, that's right.
You know, like you have, I mean, you have somebody arriving at your home, and you have completely, you know, your home is fragrance and scent free. But somebody shows up and they just slather their face with a cologne or aftershave or something like that, right?
Yeah.
It's like they tossed a hand grenade. It just blows up in the room.
Yeah. That's right.
And so if you have somebody, you know, if you're the person with this type of problem, I mean, you can't even stand it. You have to leave. You know?
Yeah.
Or you have to ask the person to leave or ask them to go have a shower. And this sort of problem you encounter in, you know, in medical offices, like a waiting room or any waiting room or movie halls, you know. But I remember sitting, you know, in a doctor's waiting room, and then somebody arrives, and then they sit down, and then this cloud of odor, you know, scent starts spreading throughout the room. And to them, of course, they're not sensitive. They can't tell. They're sitting inside of their own scent. They can't even realize that they're affecting everyone else. And if,
no,
if somebody,
that's right. And they're used to it, so they're not thinking about it at all.
Right. But if somebody in that room is sensitive, you know, they come home with a headache.
That's right. That's right.
So people out there, if you're not suffering from smell sensitivity, just try and be responsible.
That's right. No need to lather it on. We've got enough stuff going in the air without putting stuff on ourselves to add to the problem.
Right. And then, of course, then there are the fun things like the paint, and paint thinner, and paint stripper, and particle board glue, and lumber treatment chemicals that make it ant resistant, and all of these things that you find in your home, right?
Right, and it just adds to the issues.
Oh, totally. So, anyway, if you are sensitive like this, take heed. It starts with the liver. You need to get on a liver detox. It is what you need to do.
So what would be an example of a liver detox, Martin?
Well, in our world, we have Dr. Miller's Holy Tea and Dr. Miller's Miracle Tea. Both of them are formulated to push on the liver really nicely and gently. There are actually quite interesting stories from users out there that share their experiences with that. And the other thing is we have the Exula Strata Flora, which is formulated as a detox, you know, liver and pancreas and whatever else support. So that's the sort of thing that I would recommend to people.
Okay. What sort of differences could you expect if you all of a sudden your liver is working better or it's deciding to clean itself out?
Well, you come into the room and
because I know you well enough to know that it's just, you just don't take this and like, oh, I feel better.
No,
usually something happens.
Oh, you mean the stuff starts leaving?
Yeah, like I just to give everybody kind of a little warning of what to expect, right?
Well, you know, you will need to empty your colon. You know, you will need to clean it, and then the toxins go, and then of course the stones in your gallbladder and liver need to go. So you'll be pooping stuff for a good while.
Mm.
Yeah, and it won't be smelling pretty.
But because it's not in your body, you will weigh less.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You will get lighter. That's a promise. That's a promise.
So we've been talking a bit about, you know, looking at your home and what's in your home, and sometimes, you know, if you've got carpet all over the place, it may be difficult to to justify ripping it all up and replacing it with wood, but at least you're aware of some of the causes. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, because this is sort of related, was, you know, okay, we've got our home where we're in, but we're also in clothing most of the time, you know, most of us, right?
Yep. Well, so, you know, interestingly enough, I wear cotton and wool. You know, my T-shirt or undershirt is 100% cotton. My underwear is cotton mostly. My pants are either cotton or wool. My socks are cotton. I don't do synthetics, you know.
Right, right. Because there's a lot of synthetic fabrics out there.
Oh gosh, yeah. Well, there's the acrylic, and then there's the polyester, and then it's trouble for. You know, it's certainly not contributing. If you're not weak, like, you know, one of my own personal problems, and I had a big one, was liver toxicity. So until I cleansed my liver, I suffered. And I created the habit of wearing natural fibers. So, you know, these days, I don't know, I'm not about to switch to wearing synthetics just to test it.
Right, right, yeah. If it's fixed, don't break it.
Right. And I don't need to push on it. I don't need to try and find out if my liver's good enough to wear synthetics.
Right.
But certainly, if you are wearing synthetic clothing and supplementing it with drying it with synthetic fragrances in with your dryer sheets and all of that, you're certainly putting an extra load on your liver.
Right, and so that's another thing to be careful. So what we're saying is you're better off to go as close to natural as you can when it comes to where you live, the place that you live, and what you put on your body. Because we've talked a lot about what you put inside your body, right? But
I actually have a thought about that. Sorry, I keep interrupting. Today I'm just too excited. And this is, you said, what we put in your body. The thoughts I'm having is tattoos and implants and... you know, that's just the stuff that people operate in. I mean,
right.
breast implants come to mind, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. And when you bring that up, there was a sad story hitting the news recently. This fellow who was, I believe he was on some reality shows, a reality TV show, I don't know which one, and murdered his wife. And he did some things so that he...
I recall this story. He actually went quite a ways. He removed her teeth and fingers.
Yeah, and so it was... you know, he thought, well, this is great. No one will know who she is, and I can get away with it. And what he didn't think about was that she had breast implants. And I don't know if you would ever have thought of this. I certainly never would. But they put a serial number on them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Breast implants are serialized because it's sort of like lots number on a bottle of pills or supplements, right?
Yeah. So
all manufacturers are required, because it's a medical device, to track it.
That's right. So they checked the serial number on her breast implant and...
Lo and behold,
that they knew who she was. Looking for him to ask him where his wife was, and that's when...
Yeah, that's where the story turns for even worse, because not only... Well, anyway, I know that he ended his own life in the consequence of all this.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if you're thinking you're going to get murdered and mutilated... You know, maybe having breast implants is a good idea, but otherwise, when it comes for long-term life, right?
Well, yeah, this is sad, but I need to tell you this. I have actually known a lady that was an activist for breast implant group. She had silicone breast implants. There are two major types: the silicone-filled and saline water-filled.
She was an advocate for breast implants.
Well, for women who have suffered horrendous damage because of their breast implants.
Oh, okay.
Again, this doesn't happen to everybody. You know, remember the stories I tell about dental damage with mercury?
Yeah.
And how it only affects about a quarter of the population, so the statistics-based medicine is able to get away with it?
Right.
Well, in a similar way, the silicon or whatever implantations do not affect everybody. So by all means, you know, take your chances and put in the implants and find out if they do or do not cause the inflammatory reaction in your body. If they don't, hallelujah, you've got beautiful boobs. But if they do, you're coming down with rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, vitiligo, you know, you start naming those inflammatory autoimmune disorders. We have a long list that we have covered in our previous podcasts.
Right, and you'll have a problem getting them out, too, I would assume.
Not really, no, just another operation.
Oh, okay.
That you'll have to pay for.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's probably twice the price getting them out as putting them in.
I would think so.
I don't know. It certainly costs about 10 times as much to remove a tattoo than to put it in, right?
Yep, yep.
And that's another implant that I would suggest you go without.
Yeah, that's one of our favorites. I mean, here we are taking stuff and sticking it under the skin so it can, you know, you can't, yeah, stay there. Like, what is that about?
Well, again, many people will have no, they'll be just simply decorated permanently, which I find that surprising that somebody would want to actually put a picture of something to remind themselves of whatever they were thinking back in when they were 18. But anyway, that aside, not everybody gets the problem. But if you are one of the people that has the genetic load and that has the toxic load that goes with it, you know, the lake we talked about just a little earlier, if you fill your lake or you're making your lake shallower when you do these type of things, so that you're getting yourself more ready for a major problem later in life when,
exactly,
when you encounter a toxic tropical rain. You know?
Well, I like the analogy of...
Yeah, you're filling your lake, right?
Yeah.
And then when it comes to a rainstorm, you can't withstand it.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to people. They always say, it was the car accident that did it to me. You know, I had a car accident, and from that moment on, my back is bad.
Yeah.
That's not how it went. First, your back got weakened. It's probably the toxicity and inflammation in your body that's making it weak. And then comes the assault. Boom, you know, the straw that breaks the camel's back, to use an analogy.
Yeah.
And then you cannot get it back. Then you cannot fix it because your repair capacity is lesser than the damage done.
That's right. That's right.
So you want to get sick? Live in a toxic environment. Particle boards, formaldehyde, lead, arsenic, and silicone breast implants. Oh, don't think that these what's it called, saltwater breast implants are less trouble. They're only less trouble if they burst. Like if the silicone bursts, you're guaranteed problem. If the saline bursts, it just, you know, it's absorbed. But if you're allergic, you'll be allergic to either.
Hmm. Right, right. And then put stuff on your skin and wear it, you know, against your skin all day that is synthetic, and just, you know, add some stuff from that end as well.
Yeah, and top it up with petroleum jelly.
I have a friend whose sister is a doctor. It's a specialist type of doctor, and her husband is a professor at the university for basically prescribes how to, you know, what drug to prescribe for what mental illness.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So, you know, the enemy. And she keeps, because I keep telling her about magnesium, right? And don't eat the magnesium, have a bath. And she had a bath, and her, you know, when you have too much magnesium, how your head kind of goes weird?
Yeah. Oh yeah, you get kind of woozy.
This woozy feeling, yeah. It's a bit disorienting the first time it happens, right? Second time it happens when you know what it is, you just realize in a day or two the magnesium will be gone and you'll be back.
It'll wear off, right?
And so she keeps going to her sister. She doesn't tell her, you know, 90% of the stuff that I tell her, but she goes to her sister and says, well, you know, can you absorb, like, magnesium through the skin? If you put magnesium on your skin, would it absorb? Or in a bath? No, you can never absorb that. So she comes back to me and tells me what her sister says and says, you know, but I'm trying to quit smoking and I'm wearing a patch. So why am I wearing a patch if nothing ever gets absorbed through the skin? So at least I've got the sister thinking, right? I think there's no hope.
Yeah.
Or my friend thinking. I don't think there's any hope for the sister, right?
Well, she might get it someday if she needs to. Yeah, who knows? this is a complicated situation. I don't know if it's karma or developmental, or some of us simply need to reach the level of pain at which we finally are prepared to make change. I was listening to Oprah Winfrey's show the other day, and she says, at first you get a nudge, then you get a whack, then you get a kick, then you hit a brick wall, and then the brick wall comes down on you. So at what point are you willing to listen?
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, our podcast here is aimed at people who are possibly willing to listen. Just when we talk about one part, and it makes sense to kind of extrapolate and say, you know, if they're saying A, and I know A is true, and if they're saying B, I will just say, you know, probably the B is also true, and I'm going to actually stop doing this thing that's bound to cause B. So we're here, we're talking about liver load and allergies and migraines and immune system cave-ins and all of that, you know, the chronic disease that follows.
That's right.
It's really frustrating because we are living in this society, and I am so livid with the manufacturers that actually invent and then produce and manufacture these things and put them out there. I'm going on a walk with my wife, and all of a sudden this waft of a dryer coming out into the street, right?
Right.
I don't know, I forget the name of these sheets that are saturated with these artificial industrial fragrances, but it's some kind of an organochloride, God knows what ugly thing, that we're putting out into the air.
Yeah.
You know, a ton here, a ton there, pretty soon it adds up to something.
Well, and we keep talking about global warming and everything else, and I keep thinking, well, you know, what are we just throwing out there that we have no idea what sort of impact it's having or could have?
Yeah.
For no reason. Like, there is not really a good reason to have scented drying in your dryer.
Like, precisely.
I mean, you know, I can understand if you, you know, wanted to have a scented candle and you burnt the candle when you knew your boyfriend or your girlfriend was coming over and you wanted to make a romantic thing, right?
Yeah.
But to me, it's way overkill when you do that for...
Just laundry.
Just laundry, and you're basically spewing it out, as you said, into the neighborhoods.
You know, you could go natural. You could buy tea tree oil and sterilize your laundry with that. You could buy mint or spearmint, peppermint... wintergreen, whatever natural extract of plant.
Yeah.
But that thing, of course, would cost about 10 times as much as this industrial crap.
Right.
The point is, the manufacturers going after the lowest cost, and they find that they can have artificial almond flavor and they no longer need to put the almonds in, or they can have the artificial lemon flavor and they no longer have to extract it from real lemons, or they can have this artificial mango scent tropical mix potpourri made from petroleum something, and it'll cost a tenth of what it would cost to get the natural stuff.
That's right.
But going for the lowest cost has a huge price at the end.
And what's that price?
Your health. And the health of your neighbors, and the health of the planets, and the existence of human race as we know it.
Well, I think you pretty well summed that up succinctly.
Yeah, not to be too subtle on the point, yeah.
Well, and I think that, everyone has an impact, and we have an impact collectively as well as individually, and by taking steps to minimize it. And when you think about it too, right, like I've got in the habit of taking most of my clothes, and now it's summertime and it's not raining, I hang them out in the backyard and
to dry.
And it's like, I like it, actually.
Sure.
You know,
the fragrance of air-dried clothes is so different from the stuff that comes out of a dryer. It's not even fun.
Yeah.
I understand. But, you know, here's my appeal to all of our listeners. Think. You know, do not buy stuff that causes the addition of toxins into the environment. I mean, it's the little things. Why is it that you need to have this blue block of something chlorine rich in your toilet?
Yeah.
When you flush and you see that blue color swirl and go down through the chute, where does it go? Well, downstream, right? Down into a plant somewhere where then it kind of settles out a bit, and then it goes into the river. And then the river goes into the ocean, and then, you know, give it 1,000 years and we're going to have oceans that are dead. In fact, we might have it sooner. Who knows? But, you know, it's the consequence of putting the stuff down the chute.
That's right.
I mean, if it's organic, if it's natural, you know, here's a good example. There was this city in Florida that did this huge campaign on cleaning up their act because they were dumping raw sewage straight into the ocean. About 10 miles out, there was this coral reef, buoyant, living, thriving coral reef, with fish and everything else. Well, so the city cleaned up their act. They totally turned on their sewage plant, and none of the effluence, it would be called, right, the stuff you flush into toilets, was flowing into the ocean. The reef died out within 2 years.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, somebody's organic output is another person's food.
Right.
But it was mainly organic that we're flushing down, right? The poop and the toilet paper and whatever else, you know, the stuff that you put down into your carburetor, that's all okay.
Right.
That's all fine. It's organic.
Yeah.
What's not okay is when you take the paint thinner and pour it down the drain.
Yes.
So, the consequences, right?
Yeah. And so also, it's not always the way we think, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think what you're talking about here, and we may have to talk about this on another show, is some people seem to want to make the world an incredibly sterile place.
Yes.
And the truth of the matter is that we're not sterile. I mean, we have worlds living on our skin, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's totally symbiotic.
Absolutely. Totally symbiotic, and we're trying to make it us and us alone. And like you were saying, like people think, oh, this poo is terrible stuff, and it's like, no, it's just, we're just recycling. What's terrible stuff is the plastic bags that go out to sea, and the plants, the fish get stuck in or try to eat and
choke on it and whatever.
Choke on it and the whole bit. Like those six packs, you buy a six pack of cans, those rings, they're like deadly.
Yes, they're deadly to birds and deadly to fish.
Yeah. And I think now they've made them so that they decompose a lot faster and stuff because they realized that there was a problem. But it's just amazing. Those are sort of things like unnatural. You cannot go into a forest anywhere and go up to a tree and pull off a six pack. ring, right? Yeah. You can't. You can go into the forest and step on bear poop.
Yes.
No problem. And nobody's going to be complaining about the bear poop in the forest because they know that it's going to fertilize the plants which grow, which other animals eat or create berries that the bears eat.
Yeah. Right on.
There we go.
So,
all right.
I think we've said enough, didn't we?
Yeah. So, Martin, here comes the part. I ask you this every week. We've talked about some interesting stuff, and if somebody is tweeting and says, oh, man, you know, maybe that's part of what's going on with me, but I don't know who to talk to about this, and we keep saying you're one of the people that they should be talking to, and if they want to, how do they get a hold of you?
Easy. Call 1-866-543-3388. Or go to the website, life-fitbusy.com.